Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Socially Savvy, broadcasting live here at Willow's Lodge in Woodinville, the heart of wine tasting country. I'm your host, LB Duchess, with co-host Tracy Klinkroth of Chick Chat Seattle, Michael Kotzman, our food and wine ambassador, guest host Lily Verlaine, one of our premier burlesque dancers in the area, Jason Rendon, and
Donald.
It's like I have my little paper prompter, and it was like, wait a minute, he's not on here. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you.
Today, we're doing the show live, like I said, from Woodinville, so feel free to give us a call at 323-843-6090 if you would like to comment or be a part of what we have going on here. Today's show is brought to you by Willow's Lodge in the heart of wine tasting country, and we're going to be talking about socially savvy service.
And in time for the season.
I was going to say, just in time for the season, and so that we know what to expect and what other people need to step up and do.
Just got to say what lovely people we have here. If you guys that are missing it, beautiful girls, beautiful scenery. There's a fire going.
It is very, this particular location, if you haven't ever been here before, it is divine. It has almost like a log cabin feel to it. The bar is on the back side of the lobby, but there's a fireplace, so you can see all the way through into the entrance. A beautiful fire going on. They've got a nice little ledge there that you can sit on. Fabulous seating. You've got couches. You've got overset stuffed chairs. You've got regular seating. I think that's lovely, and it has a beautiful view behind of trees and lush green, and when the sun is shining, it's stunning.
That's
and a lovely gentleman greeted me on my way into the door and was very, very helpful and kind and welcoming to help me find my way to our table here.
I love it.
They've also got a great happy hour. Did you look at the menu? It's beautiful. It's good food and wine here. And
I know.
Really good price.
I'm really excited. They're going to be telling us a little bit about their happiest happy hour later on in the show. And as we get started here, the bartender is going to be bringing over some of their signature drinks, so we're going to be chatting and getting to taste all of their specials. And then towards the end of the show, they have some specialty barrel tasting beverages that we're going to get to sample.
What?
So I'm not even sure what this is about yet, but we're really excited.
I hate this job.
I know, it's just disappointing, you know, with the things we have to do. So while we're waiting for those beverages, I think we're just going to jump right in and kind of get a definition down of what we're talking about and what's going on. So what it is to be socially savvy is brought to you by Sweet Talk Wipes this week. Just like our hands, our cell phones need to be regularly cleaned and detoxified. Order yours today at www.sweettalkwipes.com. All right, socially savvy service. First off, let's define what service is. Service is the act of helping or doing work for someone, an act of assistance, assistance or advice given to customers during and after the sale of goods. And then finally, the action or process of serving food and drinks to customers. Anybody, any other, those are the textbook, dictionary terms. What does service mean to you guys?
Service to me means that, you're paying for a service, whether it's your maid at your house, a housekeeper, or getting your food here at the restaurant, and it goes up in value. I mean, if you're going to go to a fast food restaurant and you pay, $6 for a burger, you're going to get what you get. But if you go to a nice fancy restaurant and you're paying $50 for a burger, you're going to get a little bit more, service, a little bit more, I need some ketchup, I need some that, and they're going to should be respectful. You know, to me, that's what it is. Or if you have a house maid that comes to your house, and they're going to go and they're going to clean up, your mop the floors and all that, a certain level.
Correct, yeah.
That to me is what service is, and that's part of it.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I feel like the line between service and hospitality is really not a distinct one. I feel like whenever I've gone to an establishment where I want to return, the person is not only brought me something in this kind of mechanical way, but, engaged me in some other way and just made me feel welcome and just extended hospitality to me. And it's what I experienced as soon as I walked in the door here. I was like, oh, okay, I feel completely welcome. And, I'm in someone's home, essentially, and they're going to show me around.
So you feel like hospitality is actually an upscale of service?
I think it's an energy. It's not necessarily a verb, right? It's
I like that. I like that. What about you, Michael?
I always talk, you know, ask people, you know, think of your favorite restaurant or favorite, I don't know, place to shop. You know, for me, I love going to Met Market or I love going to Central Market. Because I'm a foodie. I love to cook. So, you know, could I get the same thing at Safeway? Probably. You know, or some of the things. But, you know, I go those places because it's the service. It's the environment. It's, you know, the cheesemonger. I get to talk to him, you know, and the guy, you know. Who just, and, you know, they just they educate you and they also take you around. And, like, they'll open stuff up for you, you know, if you want to try stuff. And, you know, I can't get that at Safeway. So,
yeah,
you know,
welcome.
I pay more, you know, no yeah. doubt about it. But I get the experience. And to me, the experience is more than just the value. So.
I would agree.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So. No, I'm with you on that. When you feel welcome, you know, when I get that from like Central Market about my house, I live up mm-hmm. north, and it's like you go there and say, you know, how's those oysters taste today? And they'll go, here, yeah. here you go, try it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's one of my favorite things about the different places.
Which one do you go by?
Central Market by a bottle.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like when I go into a QFC and I was wanting to try some bruschetta, and I asked the difference about the different types that they had there, and they're like, well, here, let me cut you off a slice and you can try it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a service to an extent in which, I guess, what I'm trying to get at with why we're talking about it is service will actually get you better reactions. It will get you stronger sales. It will get you
yes.
more loyalty. And so the act of service isn't just about expensive places.
Mm-hmm.
You can be working in a very simple place and still give excellent service and earn
right.
loyalty regardless of what your price points are, regardless of what it's, you know, perceived.
You know what this restaurant downtown used to do? And you go there. It's a nice steakhouse over on First. And you walk in there, and if you go as a couple, so you get seated right, and you're sitting down. And if the lady gets up and gets ready to go to the restaurant or goes to the restroom, one of the male waiters will grab her arm and walk her to the restroom
I
and then walk
that.
Her back. That's their standard style. And if you're on a date, and that really works really good. It's like, gosh, you feel special. And I think that's part of the whole service.
That's awesome. And to me, you know, that's where I think, especially, you know, what's going on with our economy right now, when we go to spend our money, the service we get is going to be the key to us spending our money with you. You know, how successful our relationships are will depend a lot on the service that we get, because when you have limited funds, and you're, you know, say you're going to go buy, put in your budget to buy two martinis a night. Are you going to go to the local bar and get a martini, or are you going to go to a place where you're going to get a higher level of service? Well, of course, you're going to go mm-hmm. after that higher level
I
of service.
I want to jump into
more
it.
More value.
The different realm. Our friend of ours, Donald here, he does a service when he does his interior design. It's not food and wine, but
right.
it's like, here's the colors. Let me talk to you. And he finds out who you are as a person. Say, you know what? You're not really a knobby wood furniture. You're more of a sleek metal finish. That's part of the service. That's what you
yeah.
pay for. And if you find somebody who's kind of like listening to you, it makes it work.
Love that.
You know, and services goes, you know, it spans a lot of different platforms. I think of services too. I think of, you know, the act of services. One of the loving, you know, we talked about this in another show. One of the, some people are do. You know, and act of services, you know, to be would be like, you know, doing something for a loved one.
Oh, the act of service, yeah.
Yeah. What's that book called? I mean, we talked about it a few
months ago.
It's
called The Five Love Languages.
Thank
you
so
much. We were actually going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Oh.
But, you know, that's another act of services. You know, when I talk about act of services, you know, doing something and not necessarily wanting anything in return, but
correct.
Doing it because you love that someone, or, you know, if I see an older woman trying to cross the street and I offer my arm and across the street, I don't expect anything back. I just, you know, doing it because I want to help someone and be a difference in someone's life. So,
yeah, no, and I think that's a good point because, you know, that's service on a personal level.
Uh-huh.
And I think if you service on a personal level, a lot of times will show through in a professional level. So I think that makes a good point. If you want to have a perceived level of excellence in your service
uh-huh.
in your business life, it's probably going to follow over into your personal life. You're going to need to maintain that balance on
right.
an everyday, just in how you're treating people, because
mm-hmm.
you're otherwise you're going to slip up and just look like a fool.
Indeed it does.
Well, it looks like we have our beverages here. We're very, very excited to try them.
We're getting there. We're just trying to sip that which is which at this point. But,
I know. They look divine.
They're colorful.
There's four in martini glasses and two in these lovely little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have six fabulous ones.
Perfect.
Yay.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Okay, so Michael, do you want to go ahead and walk us through what the different
ones
are? And we're going to guess.
Perfect.
Oh, no, they're in order.
So we got the first one we got on deck here is the Sammamish Fog Cocktail. It's a comforting fall flavor of hazelnut, crisp gin, and limoncello muddled with citrus, fresh citruses. So
that has a different flavor to it.
See what you think? I love limoncello because there's something in Italy. You had that before dinner. You had that after dinner. It's like, I had some limoncello because it's like a digestive and it helps to get things kind of running along, I guess. So
it's a nice drink. It doesn't have a lot of the limoncello. It doesn't. It's kind of like
it's not overwhelming.
No, not at all.
Well, the other thing about it, which I thought was interesting when I first drank it, it's chilled, but my first thought was like a gingerbread or something like that. I had more of a baked goods feel to it right off the bat, even though I knew I was drinking a beverage.
Oh, it's delicious. A little vanilla in there or something. Definitely citrus and some spice.
Okay, so then now we've got the second one that we're looking at.
That limoncello was actually first created in Italy on an island off the
I don't know if you heard that, but when I went to Italy, you had that. A lot of times you had that before your meal and then after your meal.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and they also make a melancello, which is a really awesome, too.
Yummy. Okay, so, Michael, what is the second one?
A second one we have is Fireside El Presidente. So it's our take on classic cocktail, mixing white rum, pomegranate, and orange liqueurs, dry vermouth, and garnished with rosemary. This totally screams fall because it's got a nice sprig of rosemary in there, and it looks fabulous.
Okay, I have to try that. I tried the wrong one.
It looks beautiful.
Nice.
Looks beautiful.
Oh, and it looks like the chef is bringing over food, too.
It's we're going to be drink against busy.
Okay, perfect. So we're passing that along. It's nice. It's a nice cranberryish color, again, representing the fall. And let's have a sip here. And you're going to...
Isn't it this one with the rosemary, Michael?
Wow.
I'm very confused.
Spice, got some really good spice notes in there.
Really yummy.
Almost like a cranberry.
It really does.
It's beautiful, the orange rind in there.
Okay,
it's
you
really
would
nice.
Wow, that's really nice. Who hasn't had this yet?
I think we've all now. That reminds me very holiday. It's very inviting.
Wow, that is amazing.
Holiday, but, you know, the myth, you know, the Demeter and Persephone myth from, like, way back when, right? So Persephone was the young goddess who was abducted and put to the underworld. And she's got this great, the story behind her is that she's this, innocent, almost like I hate to say the word victim, but what I'd like to say about this cocktail is it does have a youth to it. It has...
I was going to say, is it a cocktail
very
of victim?
Enlivening. It's a very enlivening cocktail. I'm like, it's very...
I
like it.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Michael, what's the next one?
Yes. Speed tasting. I love it.
I know. We're so excited. They wanted
us to
try all of them.
I feel like I'm back in school. I just got out of class, and it's like they're pouring these drinks down our throats. I'm like, you got to try this. You got to try this. You got to try this.
These are fun.
Hurry up. There's so many amazing ones here. We got to get going. So, spice apple tini. Okay, do I need to say anything else?
Probably not.
Down home feel of fresh pressed apple juice. So if you've been to the farms, you get that pressed apple cider mixed with vanilla vodka and allspice.
So
again,
which one is that one?
The spice of the season. Ah, I can't wait. Here we go. Everyone's looking at me.
Everybody's looking at you. We're waiting.
As he's drinking it, the first two drinks we had were served beautifully in a martini glass. This one's in a rocks glass with lots of ice.
See, I knew you'd know what kind of glass it was.
Oh,
I'm just looking at it. I was like, it's a cute little bubble glass.
According to him, we're looking at it.
We're going to try this other drink here.
We're tasting the drinks and we're...
But,
so this one has a very grapefruity.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's not it.
This is the...
Yeah, it sounds like the cocoa the cocktail there. But that's cheerful concentration of tequila, grapefruit and a splash of Aperol. So the Aperol comes through on it. Beautiful. It's really nice.
Well, and for me, this I think would be an awesome drink if, especially during the holidays, you know, some of us start watching what we're eating and drinking, and grapefruit is known to be very good for when you're on diets and stuff, and this has grapefruit. It's delicious. Oh, we get to hear from
the
bartender.
We got Ryan. He's going to have questions about it. So, Ryan, what drink is this one here?
That is the Koa cocktail.
It is yummy.
Good job. Yeah. Punch it in, baby.
Yeah, and read
you tell us what that's about?
It's just a simple mixture of Aperol, which is an aperitif. It's good for your digestion. Grapefruit, orange, and tequila.
Let's talk.
I like this.
Tell me a little bit more about Aperol.
Aperol, it's really similar to Campari. But it's not as it's a little sweeter. So I want something a little sweeter because the grapefruit's already bitter enough. And actually, I also put honey syrup in there, too, to kind of take the edge off.
Yeah, so it's bitter but not aggressive.
Yeah, it's, no, it's beautiful.
It's orange liqueur aperitif. Very good for your stomach.
Wow.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about the beverages that you brought out. I'm taking these are your signature ones.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what into choosing these. I mean, what's the feel that you want to get for people when they come in here?
Well, it was kind of a joint effort. A lot of these come from different people who work in the lounge. The Hot Rim Raisin, we just wanted a hot drink. Our one of our cocktailers, Sonia, came up with that one night. The El Presidente was kind of a last-minute thing. We needed a drink. And we were going through some old, classic Prohibition-era cocktails. And we needed a rum drink. So I found this rum drink. And then to make it more fall, we add some pomegranate liqueur. Pomegranate liqueur and rosemary to kind of spice it up and make it more seasonal.
Ooh.
It is beautiful. I'm intrigued because typically when I go into different, you know, places where they have beverages like this, I don't usually gravitate to, like, all of them.
It's also served in a martini glass as well.
Yes. Now, this is the one with the rosemary, correct?
Yes.
Oh, that's really nice.
And your presentation as far as just the beauty of the drinks as well is stunning.
Yeah, well, this screams fall. I mean, look at the colors. Look at the you know, you're looking at fall flavors, allspice, cinnamon, apples. You know, it's just it screams harvest. And that's what, and as a chef and as a mixologist, you think of what's freshest available, what's out there right now. And you create and craft cocktails around those flavors and those profiles. So that is the beauty about everyone does nowadays, is that they really go after those kind of things to make it fresh and different. Otherwise, you have the same thing over and over again.
This cocktail is unexpectedly sophisticated, I think.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Definitely, I
feel like when I read the description on the menu, I was like, oh, that. I mean, it sounds delicious, but not like something I typically order. I'm kind of a whiskey on the rocks sort of a girl. And having the element of the rosemary gives it this earthy quality, and it's not like you're drinking a glass full of, you know, pucker or something. You know what I mean? Not to insult you in your bar to say the word pucker, but, you know.
Okay, so this one that I just took a sip of, it has almost like a buttery flavor to it. Ryan, what is that?
This is the spiced appletini, because appletini needs to be done away with. kind of insult to cocktails and martinis. And
absolutely, brother.
I was scared of it. I see it coming around, and everyone looks very satisfied.
And I'll bet you there's not a mix that went into that either.
No.
No.
Everything's
done fresh.
We get all our juice fresh from CL Juice Works. We get shipped in on a week to a bi-weekly basis, and we use just apple juice, some vanilla vodka, and allspice dram.
So, you know, interestingly enough, you know, with the topic being about service, in your drinks, you guys have kind of taken that service to the next level in how you present and the creativity that's coming into them. I love it. Love it. Yay!
One of the nice things about these drinks here, you know, when you talk about classic cocktails from the past, is that these are very, not necessarily simple, but very classic, good, strong flavors without being overpowering.
Right. You know, it's great things done simple. So the less ingredients, and we talked about this last time.
Yeah.
And you drove a really good point, is that you don't have to overcomplicate things to make it really amazing.
Really amazing, exactly.
So, I mean, the presentation's great, you know, the cocktail
everything
with the rosemary. And that's another thing, you know, people listening out there is like, if you kind of want to know what rosemary smells like or tastes like, grab it, rub it into your hands and smell it, and then you can put drinks to it.
Well, and one of the things I did want to bring up, too, is this is a, to me, this would be a great place to come and bring, like, clients, somebody that you wanted to have that's that edge of a little bit more professionalism, something a little bit different that is going to be impressive.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
much,
Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, we have one more.
We have the chef.
We have two more.
No, two more.
The hot one.
Oh, okay.
We didn't do that one.
Why don't we do those two? Because our executive sous chef, I believe, the sous chef is here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have him talk to us a little bit about the delicious plate in front of us.
But, you know,
what you have right now is the brown derb.
Yeah.
And that's an old classic drink that we just brought back. We didn't do any changes to it at all. We used the original recipe. It's just bourbon, a little honey.
Oh, wow.
Some grapefruit juice, and then ginger beer to top it off.
This is going to go really good.
Does it originate from the Brown Derby restaurant?
You know, I actually do not know where it originates. It's just an old drink I stumbled upon a couple months ago.
Google it.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of old drinks, this might be something to consider for our Roaring Twenties party, which our socially savvy listeners will be learning about over the next few days.
Yep.
The extent that we are going to go to bring you a truly exceptional New Year's experience.
It'll definitely be the cat's meow.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Michael, introduce us to this lovely chef and this food in front of us. I'm just dying here, dying.
executive sous chef, Josh? Oh, Doug. I'm sorry. Got the wrong one here.
They did. They switched you.
Ooh, I hate that when they do that.
No, I'm Josh.
Okay. Oh, you're Josh.
Okay.
Delgado. So he's going to talk to us about what we have in front of us. A beautiful presentation, by the way, and a different presentation of the fall seasons and what's out there. So talk to us a little bit about what we're having today.
So I brought you out a couple different of our favorite items that we have on the menu. We typically have a crab salad on the menu, and we typically always have the lamb on the menu. So I thought it'd be good for you guys to try. So what we have right here in the very beginning, it's a warm crab salad that we pick up in a Bermante, which is basically an emulsified butter and water. So it's basically poached in a little bit of butter with some leeks and some beluga lentils on top. And then what we do is we take kumquats and we make a simple syrup out of that.
Ooh.
And we actually roast persimmons in the kumquat simple syrup.
What?
And then with the same kumquats, we make a puree on the bottom. So we like to, you know, as much as possible, we try to cook with the season. So, you know, persimmons, kumquats right now with the warm salad, crab salad. And then the frisée is tossed with some candied orange on the very top.
We're totally going to have to pass it. Michael's over here, Jeff. His eyes are rolling into the back of his head. And for a foodie, that's quite the compliment.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So how long have what is the basic thought process behind the Barking Frog and you guys and what you do for food? Like, what is your overall theme or what is your, you know, usually
philosophy.
There we go. That's the word I'm looking for.
Well, what we try to do is we're affiliated with the hotel, so we have to have a good mass appeal. But we as much as possible we try to stay local ingredients. We try to stay seasonal, and we, like you guys were saying earlier, you know, a little bit simpler is usually better, especially nowadays. I think people tend to overcomplicate food. And as long as you just you get kumquats in, you know, October, November, December, I mean, they're going to be delicious, you know, so you might as well let them do what they're going to do. So we try to cook with the seasons. We try to be very approachable. And, you know, we take a great deal of pride in just, you know, creating good food, you know, good approachable food.
We said that earlier. You weren't here yet. Oh, you're talking about both this show and last show was simple foods simply made are simply good. You know, one of the things, there's a restaurant in downtown Seattle that make just a roast chicken, salt, pepper, butter, chicken. And both of us, we've talked about that. We're like, oh, we'll cook it and try it and do this and that and the other. But their chicken is like really, really good. Same with the cocktail. Same with what you got. So I really enjoy this. For the listeners out there, you're missing it. You should have come down.
You know, and it's not easy to do simple food really good. You know, and I think it shows it's a sign of quality and talent, in my opinion. So, and then what you guys are working on here is a Anderson Ranch rack of lamb.
Oh my gosh!
And we,
Anderson comes from where?
Oregon, down in Oregon. It's a great product. and the owner takes exceptional care of their products. So what we did with it is we made Israeli couscous, and we actually take fennel and we confit it, and then we puree it. So what we do is we'll actually take the fennel puree and whip it into the Israeli couscous, and we put a little fennel pollen and mint in it, and then it's obviously paired with the fennel, and then some braised Brussels sprouts.
For our listeners out there, what is fennel pollen?
Fennel pollen is basically when the fennel, the top of the fennel, when it sprouts, when it blooms, it produces all these essentially pollen, you know, and then you harvest it, and it has just a very, very robust, very nice, sweet, anisey type of flavor.
You know, this couscous is so incredibly rich.
It's delicious.
You know, often it's like served as like a side dish at like, you know, someone's potluck.
Yeah.
This is not like that at all.
This is not your potluck
this
couscous.
This is not on a potluck, but like this is like a meal in itself, just the couscous. It's amazing.
It is definitely warm your bones type food for the wintertime.
I've
neglected to mention too that we actually make a lamb demi that we mount with figs.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Absolutely.
And for all those listeners who didn't get a chance to come down tonight, definitely, you know, pop down for their happy hour, pop down to have a cozy dinner with a friend or with a spouse. The atmosphere is amazing. It is warm. It's inviting. The service is exceptional.
It's very reasonably priced.
Very much so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so now we have to stop eating and move on with the show. How disappointing.
That was orgasmic.
Exceptional awesome. Food. And, you know, I guess this is a good time to bring up that service in food.
Right.
The service extends to just the person who is presenting you. It goes back into the chefs and the cooks and the prep cooks and everybody who's in the background and besides the people who are in the forefront. Your service can come through many different levels of hands in order to get you a product that you are paying for that you're going to enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
So with that said, I think we're going to jump forward and get back into this, into talking about service and kind of dialing it in very specifically about some of the things that what we're looking for in socially savvy service. So I think one of the first ones, Jason, you are going to touch base with us for one of the tips that one of the things we think is most important in socially savvy service.
It's listening. It's listening to, you know, what's being presented to you. I think that's a lot of problems that people just they're too busy. You know, on a service side, I come from a restaurant industry. Mike comes from a restaurant industry. Donald comes from a service industry. Yeah, Elaine comes from a service industry. As people, it's like, how do you, you know, you come from a service industry where we need to listen and figure out, you know, what are they saying before you jump into, you know, providing. Now, it is our job to guide them in what we feel is the right direction to go, but yeah, that's based on what they're thinking. And one of the rudenesses that happens is that it does goes along with money as far as service level, but yet I think that if you take the time in anybody's business, whether it's automotive or dealership or doesn't matter, if you take the time to listen to your client, you'll get a lot further than versus going, you know what, you need this. People are in this day and age, people are like, I don't need that. No, they're coming to you for advice.
Yeah, exactly. When you're in a service industry profession, they're relying on the education. You are there to help them make good choices. And in doing that, you want to make sure that you are clear and concise. You have to listen so that you can answer the needs of the customer.
Yes.
And I think that is one of the most difficult things. And when I say listen, everybody thinks that they're hearing. But there is a big difference between I would like a booth and I require a booth. You've
right.
got to be keyed in for those differences in what the customer is telling you so that you can give them an exceptional service and earn their loyalty. And
exactly.
You know, then the relationship between both of you, then you enjoy your job more and you have
yes.
a job.
Exactly. And one of the most important things about that certain unique customer service that sets you aside from everybody else is that you anticipate their next need before
yeah.
they do.
Yes, that's coming up. We were just going we're going to be talking about that coming up. We have the second thing that we were going to talk about is follow through.
Right.
In service, it is really, really important to make sure that when you've established that relationship and you've brought that service forward, that you follow through with it, because you can offer a great anything, a great pair of jeans, a great drink, a great great option, but if you don't follow through with it, then the customer never gets to experience that.
Right.
So your follow through on what is going on, what you need to provide the customer, has to be spot on.
You know, I think that too, though, it's a two-way street, and we have to address the fact that sometimes when one is a customer, it is totally socially unsavvy to walk in like you know everything.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like one of my favorite words, the sexiest word, is edification, right? And so,
I like that word.
It's so nice to as a customer, you know, come in with an open mind, you know. So I just want to throw that in there, because service is going to be much better if you sit down with an open mind.
Yeah, I think that if you come in with an attitude that you know all of it, then you're not looking for service. You're looking to either badger somebody or to beat somebody up. If you want service, then you have to be, you have to relax enough to allow yourself to be served.
Exactly.
At the same time, you should learn your industry.
Yeah,
you
that's on there too.
That's when you're on there. You know, well, last week we were talking about, we were greeted by Brooke, who was talking about people who come in to the wine tasting and stuff and say they know everything. At the same time, you should be, you know, I got you covered and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And realize that that's what's going to happen. You know, in our industry, being, you know, chef and whatnot, there are people who, I already know that when I present a plate to the table, the first thing I'm going to grab is the salt. And they're going
right.
to just go, salt on it. I hate it. I bet your Mike feels the same way. They grab it, salt on the table. It's like, taste it first. Try it. Come on, please. No, okay, fine. Then, you know, you get that dirty, you know, circle, you know, I don't
well,
know.
And everybody's
because once you put the salt
different.
In, you can't take it back out.
That's right. Amen.
Actually,
Amen.
Something that somebody taught me, because I am a salt girl, I love salt, is if I'll put a little bit of salt on my plate onto the side, and I do really try to make a conscious effort to take that first bite without it so that I can taste the flavors that the chef or whoever prepared the food had in mind for me so I can at least understand it. So Tracy has joined us. We're very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't, that's quite all right.
That's not an East Sider.
That's how I feel.
I hate MapQuest. I've been here before. I don't know.
Hey, you just couldn't figure it. Yeah, well, I just love it. So why don't you touch base with us on the third item on being for service? What do you feel is really important in service? So.
Okay. The third item.
The third topic. Be happy. Be happy.
Be happy. Okay, don't
be happy
see that on the notes,
oh,
my dear.
Maybe the notes disappeared. be happy and excited to do your job.
Oh, okay.
If
okay,
you're going to
okay.
serve, then...
Oh, that's a big pet peeve of mine.
I know. People who are in service industries and come out with an attitude and don't like their job, quit.
Or they act like they're doing you a favor by serving you.
Yeah. No.
That's happened a few times. I don't know if that's like, you know...
There was a thing when I had a restaurant in Capitol Hill, and one of the things is kind of like, I hope it's slow so that way I can go home early. It's like, if you really don't want to be there,
don't
go home.
Yeah, go home.
Really.
Because it's your livelihood, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I'm not in performance, but Leanne is. And I'm like, if you come with an attitude like, I can't be here, you're not going to perform with anything. Mm-hmm.
Well, I need to just throw in that I spent years in the service, in the restaurant service industry before I got my performance business off the ground, which is really what I wanted to be doing. And I had a boss who was very smart who told me, get out of this industry or you're going to be really bitter, because I was great at going through the motions, but I was a really bad attitude server. I need to just come out and say I was that person. They never fired me because I was good at wine sales, but
well, and the thing that a lot of people don't take into consideration is there are people who are what I would call emotionally sensitive. So if you come over to the table with a bad attitude and a smile, you're still going to affect their enjoyment of their meal, of the experience, whether it be entertainment or what it is. So when you come in and you're working with people, you need to remember you are on all the time, and you actually are very responsible for their experience, and you need to take pride in that, and you also need to make sure that you share and make it a positive experience.
But don't go too crazy. There is the show Waiting, and they talk about, do you have flair? Yes, go team.
Okay, no. We're not talking spirit things here.
No, we're just talking like, I mean, a good and funny
exactly.
and kind
a positive
server.
Attitude.
You can get yourself from no tip to a good tip.
Yes.
That happened in Napa, of all places. Where actually there was hair in the food in a Napa restaurant. And the one server was just had a really bad attitude about it. And this other woman came up and somebody else told her. Yeah, and she was so gracious and so kind and so cool. And we ended up, like, tipping her 25%.
We love that.
You know
love that. Well, it's like my husband, when we were in college, one of the things he used to do is he would put their tip at the end of the table. And he would say, the more time you spend at our table taking care of us, the more of that tip will stay there.
I've heard of that, too.
And this was at Denny's, of all places. And it, you know, the pancake house. And it was funny because he was teaching them how to be good servers by figuring out what motivated them.
Okay, I just need to bring one thing up, though, really quick. So, okay, I will say my hatred of being in the service business has made me a really good customer, I think.
True.
And I have been welcome. I have a really annoying
compassion.
Diet. Yeah. I have been welcome in all the best restaurants in the city. But this is what I think. So, I mean, I'm a minimum 20% tipper at this point. And if you put food in front of me in a restaurant, I am so grateful it's there that I'm just going to be like, oh, thank you for feeding me with my annoying dietary restrictions. Anyway, moving on. The point is, I feel in
Lily,
this culture, we have this adversarial relationship between server and client. And I'm like, why can we not just include gratuity in every single time we sit down, and then we won't have this horrible adversarial relationship where we spend more time evaluating the person who's coming to the table and less time enjoying the beautiful meal that they're putting in front of us. It's
well, I think part of it comes into effect that when, I mean, we can go home and we can make, a lot of people can make these meals. I mean,
right.
They can pick up a cookbook and they make their meals, but they're going out because they want an experience, and they actually going out because they want somebody to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel special. I mean, a lot of single people will go out and eat by themselves because, why? They don't have somebody else to eat with, and they're looking for a connection. They're looking for an experience.
Right.
So from a serving point of view, you know, I totally get what you're saying, and there's a lot of legitimacy to that, but I think for a lot of people, for people who are on the serving end of it, they really need to understand that there's more involved than just somebody sitting down and ordering food
from
them.
It's also an education. If there's a movie that you can watch as well that talks in the 1950s where they come in there and they bring the food to the table, and the guy has a risotto and he puts a little basil on there, and the lady's like, what is this? I had a leaf with my salad. It's like there's a education of the consumer now.
Correct.
Who's like, I'm learning about the food, and the service industry has to follow through. And some restaurants, they're spot on. They know what they got. There's some restaurants, they don't even have a clue.
It all comes into education. You're
right. It also has to do with being a socially savvy patron.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to date. I would date a guy or not date a guy based on how he treated the waitress.
Yeah.
And if he was rude and nasty, I'd be like, yeah, not really into you.
Well, and again, you know, if you're on when you're dealing with service, there's the receiving end and the giving end of it, and you are responsible for being on either side of that and being gracious. You know, one of the things, the next topic on here is learn your industry and anticipate needs. Jason brought that up earlier. If you are serving French fries, typically you're going to want to make sure you have the ketchup there. Don't bring over the French fries and say, I will be back with the ketchup. That is a huge pet peeve because you know that 90% of Americans want ketchup with their French fries. If you're a customer and you don't typically like ketchup, then on the service side of things, you would tell your server, hey, you know, could you bring me a side of Thousand Island with that? I would really prefer
actually,
that with my fries.
I just thought of this for a second. Though. There are people who are career servers, and there are those who are just service for college. I just come up with
but it doesn't, you know what, honestly, I really don't feel that should even be an issue.
No,
if
I agree.
You are in something, if you're going to be a janitor, for instance, and you're a janitor at a hotel where people are walking by you all the time, you need to be happy about the job that you're doing, mm-hmm. and you need to do it graciously. And you have a job. You're going to be around people. If you can't be around people and be gracious, then you need to get into a job that you're not serving
anybody. But that's the problem. That's the disconnect because people do what they have to do, not because they love to do it.
True. Right now.
I understand that. But if you're going to do it, you have a choice to either do it with a good attitude or a bad attitude.
True.
And I think that's
absolutely
really what being a socially savvy service is about, is if you're going to do this, do it with a good attitude. Take pride in it. Be happy about the job that you have, even if it's not your dream job.
And on the opposite end, if you're a listener and you're not a server and you see a server come up to you and they got a bad attitude, you know, you can say, you know, I know you're busy. I see you're passing.
Yes.
You could say, you know what, take your time.
You
I'd rather be right.
To them as
just
well.
Let it go. And then they go.
I totally agree.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, you understand.
Right. Okay, so we got the next cocktail that we're...
No, we're going. We're continuing on.
Oh,
with,
I got it.
Well, it's yes. We're kind of back and forth here. So, where are we at?
Thank you.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
We're going through.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And I had this already prepped ahead of time, actually. and thank yous are so huge because, you know, and just to layer on what Jason said, you know, just, you know, when a waiter, you know, even if they look like they're having a bad time or a bad day,
oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, thanks for, you know, getting this really awesome spot over here. You know, my wife and I or my girlfriend and I, we're having a great time. And this is just a great spot you put us in. I just want to thank you. You're doing a great job. I'll tell you what.
You can
from
make
that
their day.
Point on,
you're going to get
you'll have a
service.
Great experience. Yeah, but, you know, just the little things. You know, thanking a person for, hey, you know, thanks for going the extra mile. I really appreciate that.
Be sincere. Yeah. There's that thing that says it's not what my grandmother. It's not what
you
said.
It's how you say it.
Yes. Huh.
You look good today versus you look good today.
Yeah.
Or, wow, you look amazing. But, but yes, absolutely. And not only that, you know, thank yous, you know, for me, you know, even if you're doing a job interview or, you know, sending them a thank you or like, you know, LB does something really nice or Tracy does something and like, you know, I'll send Tracy, hey, thank you for having me or I'll take time out at the end, at the end of the show, she'll bring me on for, you know, and I'll say, hey, thank you for the opportunity that you've given me because she has, and so has LB. I mean, just this whole show has just been a beautiful blessing for me, and
aww.
You know, and it'll just taking
LB.
Time out to say thank you, and I giving me the opportunity to do my thing. You know, it's just that goes a long way.
True.
Well,
very,
and there's so
true.
Much in this life that is difficult, and to have that act of kindness, and we're going to be talking about a little bit about some of these in a little bit. To reach out to people and be the person who's encouraging, be the person who's lifting that person up. If somebody's being crabby to you, try to rise above, and this leads right into the next thing.
On the
fix errors with grace and in a timely manner. Mm. We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes, and if we make a mistake, you can handle it with grace and fix the problem. And if you see the person who's not quite doing that, you can offer them grace and allow them the opportunity.
So we're talking about servers.
We're talking about service.
And that comes from the top down, I would imagine.
Education.
Well, I mean, in terms of whoever owns the restaurant.
Yeah.
So we were at a restaurant in Boston, and the poor server came and dumped, like, soup all over my girlfriend, which,
oh,
you know, she was totally cool about it.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then they comped her dinner, which they should have done, you know, because then she has to get her coat dry cleaned. But maybe perhaps not all owners of restaurants are that cool. And
they don't have
the management. And the thank you and the fix errors is all management, whether you're in the IT field or the realtor field or the car dealership. You know what works really well? You don't need to give a $5 Starbucks card. Mm-hmm. No, just say, you know what? Hey, thank you. You did really well. Thank you. I appreciate it. For me, personally, if I just hear a thank you once, I say, like, all right. It was recognized. I did a good job.
Exactly.
I had a terrible experience as a server where I put a cup of tea on a table and a baby reached into it and burned herself. It was absolutely horrible and completely scarring for myself and others.
Oh,
and they actually forgave me and stayed and ate with this, like, poor, screaming, traumatized baby.
Man.
Well, because
and I kowtowed and cried, actually, about it.
Interestingly
they were really,
enough.
Really nice about
and
it.
I see you changed
professions rather quickly.
Living my horrific past, and like I'm feeling extremely sympathetic, but I want to jump in with one quick thing, and I do think that it's an employer's responsibility to hire, if not like actual adults, uh-huh. people who behave like adults. When I walk into a nice restaurant and I see like a 15-year-old doing their nails with the hostess,
oh yes, hello, that is a turn off.
On the flip side, when I walked into Boss's Bar in New York and this man who looked like a movie star sat me at my table, I was immediately there. They had me at that moment.
They had you at hello.
They did. They had this extremely elegant person. I felt so honored that this person was pulling my chair out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just what I want to put out there. You know, you get what you pay for.
No, I totally agree with that. And you know, this is the point, is if you want the competitive edge over everybody else, then you need to educate yourself. There's books like we've talked about before, The Five Love Languages, The Power of Positive Thinking, mm-hmm. Who Moved My Cheese. Understand how people think, how they work, and you can serve them
right.
at the level that they need. Just like you were saying, Jason, you know, for you, a simple, hey, thanks, works wonders. For somebody else, it may simply be looking, they're going for their tea, and they're looking around you anticipating, oh, they're looking for the sugar and creamer. Here you are, sir. Understanding how people function and being able to serve them can put you in a position where you're considered exceptional.
And surround yourself with people who are in the same area that where you want to go. You know, there are those of us, or those people that I know that are not us, that are like, we don't know what we're going to do or where we're going to go. And there are those that are like, oh, I want to make something. I want to do something. And that crosses the line with service industry. That crosses the line with realtor, chefs. I know that Mike and I, we talked about this before. It's kind of like, you know, we get really, we're like right now, we're probably 60% energy. But if we start talking about food and about smells and seasonings and everything else, we start going 80%, 90%. Like, oh, dude, you know.
Yeah.
With two episodes ago, we talked about smelling and nutmeg. I'll go back to that.
That was like, so amazing. That was such an awesome clue.
You know, when you teach people different stuff, and that goes across, you know.
It really just does. Mm-hmm. I would totally agree.
What a beautiful atmosphere here, folks. If you guys aren't here,
very sultry.
The fireplace is going really strong. It's got a warm feeling, not too hot, not too cold. It's nice and dark. The stars are starting to come out outside. It's beautiful.
It is. It's very
wonderful,
nice.
Friends. Really, it's nice.
It is. We love it. Okay, so we are going to move on to acceptable and unacceptable, brought to you by Cascade Ice, only 2 calories.
Wow.
One of our favorite sponsors. They're
very good stuff.
Amazing. Tracy, you want to tell us about the first socially acceptable?
To clarify meaning and intent.
So in socially, if you want to be considered socially savvy in service,
okay,
it is acceptable to clarify meaning. So if somebody says, comes up and says something about they want a table by the window, if your table is a booth by the window, it's acceptable to say, did you mean a booth? Because that's what we have by the windows. There's a way to portray that, to clarify meaning and intent so that you make sure that you and the customer are on the same page. I think a lot of people kind of shy away from that because they're afraid that they're going to be considered correcting. But if you clarify, then there's no room for any mistakes. If you don't clarify, then you can end up with a very unhappy customer.
What about this? I never got past hostess. I guess I was never quite server material. But I will, and I'm always nice about it, but if I go into a restaurant, they want to put me at this seat. Like, I love booths. I don't know. I just prefer booths.
I'm a booth girl,
I always
too.
Be like, can I sit here? And usually they're good about it, but sometimes you kind of get, and I know that they have an agenda in terms of they want to make sure that everybody gets different servers, get you know, enough tables.
Right.
But I don't like it when they give me like a little toot and roll their eyes. And
that's a valid point. That's the kind of stuff that you can't do because then you've set off the customer right from the get-go in a negative experience.
Yeah.
True.
Addressing up a wall. Okay, my favorite part, socially unacceptable.
Weird.
Brought to you by Pop Chips, never fried, never baked, think popped. It is socially unacceptable to push another agenda, a company, or jobs unsolicited. I absolutely cannot even tell you how much fingers down a chalkboard it is when you have a server come over and, you know, you've got this friendly banter going on and all of a sudden they whip out some card and they go, oh, hey, I think you'd really be interested in this. And it's like a multi-level marketing or something crazy like that. You need to remember when you're in a service industry, you are there to get the customer their service and not talk, yes, it's happened to me. Yeah.
I remember one time I went to a vegetarian restaurant here in Seattle, and the servers there, they were just like very nonchalant, like, here's the menus.
I can't
stand
that.
Okay, what's your order?
Maybe they need menus.
Okay, here you go. Here's the plates.
I can't stand that.
And they still expect that 20% gratuity.
Okay, so, you know, while we're bringing that up, one of my biggest complaints is when you have a party of 6 and they insist on a 18% that is automatically added to your bill. And the problem I have with that is 90% of the time, in my experience, that server does not give exceptional service. They give crap for service, and I cannot stand that. If you're in that situation and you know you're getting an 18% tip, you better earn every dollar because there's restaurants I will not go in because they did that.
See, that's owning a restaurant, that's a double-edged sword. I would 8 people and more. I would say, you know, on the service side, if I get 8 people, they're demanding, they want everything, and I can see that 18%. But what I will say, if you're on the customer side, and I've done this, if I don't feel I'm getting my 18%, I will say something.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a two-way street. If you're just going to go, well, they didn't, hello, can I have my serve? No.
Yeah, see, this is what I was thinking, and it just occurred to me that I'm actually just lazy now because I go out, and I'm like, I just want to have a good time. So I'm like, whenever I look at a menu item, I'm like, okay, it's $10, so that means it's $2 extra for a service, and I just put it out of my mind because I'm like, I can't have the stress of like having this adversarial relationship. Like, if I'm sitting at your table, you are good for 20% unless you like, I don't know, sit on me. Or
see, that's the problem that we have with the mandatory 18%. So like, there's one, two, three, four. There's six of us here, and then say, you know what? There's six of you here. If you spend $100, it's going to be, you know, $60 off the top right now. And then we're like, where's our server? Hello?
Yeah.
We wave our hand. We give that
death
stare.
Your food's cold when you get there. I mean, he just,
I didn't order this.
Well, then that's just being a set, like you said. If you're not getting it, then you speak to the manager. And
but
you
say, on a customer side, those listening,
you shouldn't have
sugar
to.
Sugar goes
I
a lot
agree,
further than bitter.
Yes, it does.
You know,
it does.
Quietly take
well,
a side.
Well, that whole fly on
honey
the wall
thing, yep. Yes. Okay, so Ryan is back, and we get to hear about this lovely, awesome barrel tasting.
Yes, Ryan,
so
talk
funny
to us about
so
this beautiful barrel-aged cocktails we got here.
What are they? To me, and I'm very excited.
All right,
about
we have three different barrel-aged cocktails we're doing right now. The one right over here with the lemon peel, this is a hanky panky.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Delivered to you in
hanky-panky
a martini glass.
It's a mixture of gin, Fernet, Ramazzotti, dry vermouth, and we age it for about a month.
So to explain to this, yeah.
So talk to us about the vermouth, because I just learned about actually vermouths, and actually people on the radio and around me actually, vermouths are actually it's a wine, right? Mm-hmm. And it's actually infused with herbs at times.
Yeah.
So
dry and sweet,
and dry and sweet, and sometimes with honey. So sometimes you can use that to your advantage in your mix in your cocktail. So tell me about the vermouth and why you paired it with this cocktail.
Well, the vermouth we used was the Dolin dry vermouth. So it's it kind of helps cut it a little bit. It makes it so it makes it a little smoother, but the dry vermouth is not sweet. There's a little sweetness, but it's not sugary sweet. And it just helps balance the drink so that the gin isn't a little overbearing.
Why does it smell like saffron? Does it smell like saffron to anyone else? Like,
oh,
well,
it does.
I'm just getting that on my nose.
The Ramazzotti and the Fernet are both very, very herbal.
For those that have forgotten what a warm Ramazzotti is, can you explain it again?
Sorry, what?
For those that have forgotten what the warm Ramazzotti is, could you explain it?
It's an Italian herbal liqueur.
Okay. I've never had that before. So explain a little bit about these are barrel aged specialty drinks. So is it just portions of the alcohol that are barreled, or do you mix and barrel the whole thing? I know it's a dumb question, but people like me ask these questions.
No, it's not a dumb question at all. What we do is we actually we make the cocktail all together. So we make a big batch. I prepare it like I would if I was going to just prepare any other drink. Instead of serving it, I take the mix and I put it in a barrel.
That is amazingly cool.
Nice.
I like that.
But how long was this aged?
For about 4 weeks.
Oh,
nice.
For those on the outside listening in, imagine, if you will, five hands trying to grab the same glass. It's really awesome here. The next drink is served in a martini glass, and it's called?
It has beautiful amber highlights.
Okay. It's served in a martini glass.
Perfect.
What's it called? This next one?
The second one?
This is our white Manhattan.
Manhattan?
If you like strong drinks, hello.
So, Ryan, you said it's aged in a barrel. What kind of barrel are you using to age this in?
It's just an American oak barrel.
It's just got some flavor.
Right, so why American oak? Is there a toast on that, or is it just like...
There's a toast on it. American oak, just because it's local. We actually got supplied by Woodinville Whiskey Company. The ones who have helped this project out, giving us barrels and also giving us some unaged whiskey to play with.
Woodinville Whiskey Company is a brand new company here in Woodinville. They're doing primarily white whiskey, and I believe at the end of this year they're going to do a 3-year.
It should be a rye coming out.
A dry coming out, right. They do a.
They have a vodka too, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
I actually made a a chicken infused whiskey with a guacamole spiked slider for them about a year ago.
Wow.
Which is really good. So. Yeah, the drink here, as you taste it, it's got a little bit of caramel on it. It's very tasty.
So
okay, so it's kind of almost like a Manhattan, but not really.
Let me stop you just for a second. Jason, you said something really cool. So you said caramel, right?
Yes.
So where does the caramel profile come from?
You ask me? It's coming from the wood.
Why is it from the wood?
The toast of the wood.
Yes. So you typically on, you know, I asked Ryan this about, you know, is there toast on the wood? So there's light, medium, and dark toast.
Yes.
Medium toast will give you like some of those caramel, almost vanilla.
Yeah.
Darker the roast, the more the sugars that come out in the wood.
Yeah.
So you get almost like coffee, chocolate flavors at that point. So
medium is chocolate. I'd say the higher end goes more towards the bitter, the coffee flavor.
Coffee, but I also get like dark chocolate too sometimes.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bitter.
So caramel, like creamy caramel. Almost toffee, medium toast. Absolutely, those are absolutely dead spot on.
For those that are listening, when you just kind of borderlines to like a whiskey, scotch tasting, because over there, overseas in Scotland,
strong.
When they burn it, not only do they burn it, they're charring it with peat moss, they're charring it with straw, they're charring it with, you know, different things, and that changes the flavor incredibly.
Right.
And, you know,
and the cool thing is I've actually seen barrel making and toasting.
Isn't that
cool? It's an art.
Yes.
And it's amazing how they do this. But you can completely change
the flavor profile
of your liquor or your beverage you're trying to make and whatever, either
and
be wine,
by
wine.
What you put it in.
Or alcohol. So
this is
very, very cool.
Ryan, you've dealt with a lot of the whiskeys here on there. How do you feel that from the Wingo Whiskey Company, how does this stack up with some of the other whiskeys that you have, the Maker's Mark, the Glenlivet? How do you compare this?
Well, it's really it's very unique. I mean, it's corn whiskey. It's unaged. So it has a taste like whiskey, but at the same time not, because there is no age in the barrel. And that's why aging it has been really fun, because it's kind of bringing out a lot of the flavors in the whiskey. They're basically what they're making is a bourbon. It can't be technically called a bourbon because it's not from Kentucky, but it's that style of whiskey.
Wow. Very fun. Okay, so what's this next drink that we're looking at?
Yes, let's talk about the next one here.
This one right here that we're serving neat is called the Colonial.
You said something real quick. Well, how'd you serve it?
Neat.
What was that?
How did you serve it?
Neat.
Could you explain to our listeners neat? What is that?
Neat is when it's served with no rocks, just in a short glass.
Okay.
No ice, no nothing, just as it is. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, pass
the glass. Austin said it's very good. He's still alive.
That's amazing. That's really good. It has kind of, it's really interesting because it has like almost a little bit of mouth coating in there. What causes that? What is that?
I use some BB Benedictine in that.
Okay.
So it's a type of Benedictine, but it's not as spicy. It's a little smoother. It's a little sweeter. Basically, the whole mixture is Applejack, sweet vermouth, BB Benedictine. I made a burnt caramel syrup and then spiced it with some allspice dram.
It sounds like my husband's drinks.
You totally get the allspice on the back end
right
of it.
Right there.
But it's got some, you know, like wine. Ooh. Sometimes you have good length on it, and that's actually really good. I tasted
flavors
all the way up to like 2003, 2004. It was really nice. Beautiful.
For those that are listening, BB Benedictine is a monk drink. A lot of the monk drinks from the 18th century were based off of herbs. So you have like the chartreuses, the pernos. Even the absinthe, it's all from monk era because they didn't have the grapes that they have. They have herbs, and they made a lot of it. And they were mainly for a digestive, you know, you had that before you had your meals.
To help digest the food properly, right.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, but if you can drink it, it's great.
And Jason, you are absolutely right because, you know, the cool thing is that, you know, you're talking like 6,000 BEC. You know, you've got, and the monks would flavor their wines because a lot of times it was really rancio, really just like oxidized, just nasty.
Yeah.
So they would add different things to make it last. So one of the things they used to use, and especially in Greek wines, was resin, pine resin.
Yeah.
Pine resin. A lot of times they sweetened it with honey, herbs, and spices to make it taste better. So, absolutely.
So go ahead and tell us about this final one.
What's this one?
This is our in-house coffee liqueur.
Oh, I know someone's going to like this
one. We used Peabody Jones vodka as our base, and that's also made by Wooden Bill Whiskey Company. And actually, they recently just won an award down at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition.
Ooh, nice.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Kudos.
That's a good canvas to start on.
Definitely. So that's the base.
Okay.
And then made a couple different coffee syrups, one by using a French press and other with espresso, and then we aged that for about 2 to 4 weeks.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, we had one more on the table. What was that last one with the hot, with the straw?
Oh, yeah. The Our Hot Drink.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We didn't try that yet.
What is
well, it's not hot yet? Anymore.
It's got stuff in the bottom.
Yeah, what's in the bottom of this?
Those are rum raisins.
Oh.
Rum
raisins and rum.
Yum. Mm-hmm. I got to try that one, too.
But it's actually, the drink itself is a mixture of brandy, iced tea,
woo!
And tuaca that we steam.
Tuaca.
Yeah, it definitely gets tuaca in it. A little vanilla in there. It's beautiful.
Well, for our listeners who are listening live, we are going to be going off air, but you can come back and listen to the last part of the show as it records, because the recording will continue. So thank you for being a part of the show. And
absolutely.
Catch us for the after party, after show. We're going to be continuing with that right now.
Thank you, Albie.
Thank you so much for
Ryan,
introducing us to all these fabulous beverages.
Very welcome.
And the food and how much fun. I mean, you hear about the experience out here with the Barking Frog and your lodge here, and you just hear all these wonderful things, but then to come and experience them, I think people really need to just get
absolutely.
Out there. It's perfect for winter months. It's perfect.
You've touched about this before, and I think I could do this. Ryan, you know, could people come and talk to you about your drinks that you have here and give a little kind of understanding?
Oh, definitely. I always welcome people too, and actually that's what I enjoy about doing what I do. The way our bar is, it's very approachable over there. It's very relaxed. The atmosphere is very laid back. So I'm always available to talk to people about anything they need to know.
To come out and see them.
I love it.
Very cool. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
And again, for those of you who don't know Willow's Lodge, it is a place where you can spend the night. It's a lodge. It's a hotel. They have some spa service. They have fabulous products that they use for enhancing the experience. You've got the Barking Frog across the street. You've got wine tasting all over around in the area. So if you're looking for a local, yes, and beer, the Herb Farm, this is a great place to come and stay. Even if you're, you know, from Seattle or maybe Tacoma or Everett, you know, this is one of those great places you can come in. You can have a fabulous experience for a one-nighter, an overnighter. Girlfriends, whatever.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Fabulous.
I'm plotting, actually. Get out here.
Planning and plotting. Okay, so I think we're going to just move on to the socially savvy preparing for the holiday tips. As we get closer and closer to the holiday, we're going to try to constantly give you new ideas, tips, and stuff to help make the holidays a smoother transition and keep you more prepared. So with that said, we will be sending out tips every week. The first one, I think Lily is going to tell us about.
Send out invites 3 weeks ahead so people have time to schedule. Even save the date notices if you don't have full details yet.
And I don't know about you guys, but when I get to save the date, even if it's, you know, 5-6 weeks in advance, I do appreciate that because mm-hmm. it's like I can put it, okay, this is the basic time schedule, you know, this is the person that's with, okay, bam, I've got that timed out so that when something else comes along, I'm sorry, I've already committed to something.
Yeah, if you're the first party on that date and you have it in your calendar, it's like, sorry.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which leads us to the next one, which is probably any of us who do events. It's a big pet peeve, but it's really, really important, is that look at your invites and RSVP at least a week ahead, if at all possible, because those who are having parties and events, you know, have to spend money and time and energy for food and beverage and so on and so forth, and we really appreciate, you know, your help.
And it is okay to say no.
We have talked about this almost every week, it seems like.
I'll say
trying to re-educate what RSVP is, means, and the purpose of it.
Yeah.
RSVPing, yes, to be supportive, is not supportive. And I know the intentions are the best of intentions, but it really messes with people.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you can't, RSVP from your heart the way you know so they can
okay
plan.
It's okay to say maybe. You know.
And I'm a fan of maybe. If you're going to RSVP
maybe,
please try to update the RSVP maybes within 24 to 48 hours on a minimum. The more time you can give them to prepare, the better off it is for everybody, and you're not going to get risk getting left out.
RSVP equals reservation.
Yes, it does, which means you're going to be anticipated.
Hey, you know, for those guys out there, you know, trying to take care of it, you know, it's a good thing to have a shirt in the car, get your deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Get your, you know, your shaving kit, get ready, because we get busy, and I do this now. I do have, you know, my grandfather used to give me this advice of what you have. You know, I have a wine opener in my pocket. I've got a roll of toilet paper in my car. But if the holidays come, you know, things happen. It's like if somebody was, you know, they're drinking, they bump into you. Yeah, I got a shirt in the car that I'm just going to transfer.
You're prepared.
Real quick,
you're ready.
You know?
Ooh, that's a
you
good
know?
Idea. I love that.
Well,
that
for the ladies, the emergency holiday pack suggestions would be an extra pair of hosiery, deodorant, a pair of silver earrings and a pair of gold earrings, black high heels, fragrance, and lipstick. That way you're ready for any last-minute parties or anything you need to attend. You can spruce it up in a heartbeat.
Hey, you know what happened?
What?
Tracy knows. She's missed it. She was traveling in Edmonds. What happened in Edmonds that it was the record-selling event that just opened last Saturday?
Dick's.
In Edmonds?
Yeah.
Dick's.
What was
Dick's
it?
Dick's Burger.
Dick's Burgers and Fries opened up in
Edmonds. I saw
that. Isn't that crazy? You actually showed up. I saw a picture of you. It was like midnight or something.
Actually, I didn't show up. I caught somebody else's picture a couple of minutes after midnight, and I was so excited to see the success because their success is directly related to the East Side getting a Dick's Burgers and Fries.
Yes. Mm.
So rock on, Edmonds. I want that thing lying around the corner for months because I want Dick's on the East Side.
Now, I understand you. It's like Dick's isn't like a gourmet burger in the sense like it's Kobe beef. That's not what Dick's makes work.
That's like crack beef. That's all I got to say. Because I love Dick's Burgers.
It is.
Yeah. You nailed it, Tracy. That's dead on with it.
And I meant that as a huge compliment.
Oh, definitely.
No, most definitely. For those of us who were raised in the area, if you went to, you know, Seattle schools, or you were, I mean, I was a cheerleader. Hello, after the football game, that is where we went.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Out.
You know, and not to be, you know, no pun intended, but, you know, it was just, I don't know, you know, there was just, I went in there, you know, I'm old school, like, you know, Dick's, you know, like, you know, I wanted the double whammy.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a double whammy. I was they had a double 270. I'm like, whoa. And it was still good. It's just.
They have a Dick's Deluxe.
Michael.
Dick's Deluxe.
It was even
two patties, cheese.
Yeah. But give me the freaking double whammy, man.
I had a friend visiting over there, and he's like, oh, can I have the Dick's Deluxe without this?
Oh, no, no, no.
Like, sorry, sir, we don't.
I actually
have it. Can I have a fork? No, sir, we don't have a fork. We have a spork. Okay, so can I have ketchup? Okay, we got ketchup for 25 cents extra, or 5 cents extra. But yet, when you after a good night out,
it is perfect.
It's really good.
Okay, can I just say
where's
thing?
The malts, man?
Oh, you know, yeah.
They don't have
no
malts.
Always
no,
just
what the hell?
Okay,
I'm like
Michael,
always a dissenting voice. I lived across the street from the Wallingford Dick's when I first moved to Seattle. And I just have to say, Dick's in Edmonds, please learn and provide garbage cans because your neighbors will not
Amen.
Love you
oh,
yeah.
that's true.
If you do not provide adequate
sanitation. Because it ends up in their
garden.
You
don't want to know what was in my vegetable garden. I won't go any further. You can imagine.
That's from the crows.
It was 2 in the morning. The cheerleaders were there, okay?
Yeah. of course, you know.
Hey, I was a good cheerleader.
Just for routine, say for those of you that do indulge and drink, please drink responsibly. I just got to say that because it's
Most
very important.
Most definitely.
Say that for the holiday season. Be sure if you need to get a cab or if you need to have a friend, and there's a lot of services out there. You know, from here, socially savvy, it is not socially savvy to drink, drive and drink.
Nope.
You know what somebody should do? I'm sure they do it. This would be a good fundraiser. Maybe not. But,
fundraiser for
you
what?
Know, for like cheerleaders. I'm actually maybe not cheerleader. I was a cheerleader too, and we drank a little bit before
the
game.
I didn't mean to bag on the cheerleader.
No, but I mean like you know, to get younger kids or maybe college students to, because it's so hard to get a cab on New Year's Eve, for instance.
Oh,
so
get
hard.
Them, get
but
them,
if you could do like
college,
service and
college
yeah.
pickup,
college,
yeah,
yeah,
will they come and pick you
great
up?
Great idea.
And, no, that's actually not a bad idea.
You might get your boys on that.
I was gonna say, might have to create a socially savvy. Well, I'm not going to say escort service. That's
well, you know, it's socially savvy to, you know, make reservations with a town car.
Yeah.
For New Year's
Oh,
Day.
Yes, that's good.
Oh,
yeah.
And there's,
yeah.
You know, in again, that just heightens your experience. It just, it's like anything else. If you want to have a great experience, plan for it, budget for it, and make it great.
Mm. Right. And a town car is less than a limo.
It all comes back to you planning ahead.
Exactly.
You said something about a town car. You know, right now, just to say it, if you get caught drinking and driving, folks, that's minimum $10,000. I'm just going to say it.
Yep.
I love you all. And
that's a lot
help,
of limo and town car service,
seriously.
People. A
yeah.
lot.
I think I'd rather spend $200-$300 and get a limo home. Then.
Or if you guys come here to the Willows, They got a great place to stay.
Yep.
Their beds are really nice and soft.
Crawl up the stairs to a bed.
Yep. I'll do that.
Well, and if you plan to get out on a big party or big holiday weekends or what have you, you know that they're going to have great specials or good deals for you.
Exactly.
Get a hotel room, you know. Yeah. It's not that
make
bad.
Make it an evening, goes back make it fun.
Exactly. Especially when, you know, Jason just said, you know, framed up as 10,000. He's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've had some friends who've done it after lawyers, after paying 2 years, two or 3 years of extra insurance.
Besides not knowing how to get to work anymore and having to rely on
it's
buses
a whole
and
lot of less expensive to get that $100 hotel room and stay the night.
Yep, think ahead of plans.
$100. Where are you taking your dates, Michael?
Wow.
They're by the hour.
Ching. Okay, now we go on to the Justice Report.
Justice Report.
Brought to you by Bellevue Nordstrom's Cosmetics. Last week, I attended the Working Women's Wednesday at the Suite with 92.5 and mm-hmm. Brooke and Jubal. I believe our fabulous Chick Chat is going to be there this coming week. Very, very
in
excited.
The house on Wednesday, yes. We do Working Women's Wednesdays sometimes, and I'm really excited to be at Suite, which I was just there on Thursday. It's really gorgeous.
It is, and while we're on that topic, we will be broadcasting live from the Suite for Halloween night. So get your costume on. Come on out. We're going to have some great prizes for best costumes. We're going to be, if you have an opinion you want to talk, that's going to be a show to do it because we're going to hand the mic over to people, and we have not yet decided on the topic, but we're going to make sure it's fun enough to engage people to want to speak. also attended... at Nordstrom's, they had Diane von Furstenberg in Seattle. She hit only two Nordstrom's in the Northwest to launch and sign bottles of her fragrance. And I have to tell you, for those of you who don't understand the icons from the that era, she was truly legendary. And it was really neat to see her in person. She just had this era about her. It was a lot of fun. So anytime you see those events.
Hello, the wrap dress? I mean,
she completely.
She's they're rocking that again too.
Yes, they are, and she actually had people who were wearing the wrap dresses. They designed them with her logo.
Very cool.
What do you call it? Decor on them. It was beautiful.
Now, is she Anderson Cooper's mom? Anderson Cooper's mom is somebody famous.
Oh,
go to Vanderbilt. She's another icon from the 70s, though. Yeah.
It's kind of cool. How did that? You know the. As a guy, and as a guy, you know, when you listen to the signing of the bottles, can you tell me a little about that? Because, you know, if I give it to my wife, you know, how can I, what does it smell like? You know, I want to, you know, because Christmas coming up and holidays, you know, what's it smell like? Help me out.
Okay, well,
I'm a guy.
For starters, Dan, it's passed. So if you didn't get a signed bottle, you're not going to get one. I'm sorry.
What's it smell like?
Diane von Furstenberg put out a fragrance that was very typical to the original generation that she came out with. It has a heady note to it. It is a perfume smell to it. Almost, it's deeper than what a lot of people are used to. So it definitely had that kickback to that era, which was kind of fun in that reminder aspect of it. I'll derail just for a second here. That's a good question because a lot of people go out looking for fragrances, and there's one thing that I have found that I can help people when they're trying to pick out fragrances. Is if you're looking for a fragrance for a certain person, you can almost do it on your own. And it is a very simple trick. You limit yourself to 3 or 4 fragrances that you're going to smell. The little coffee there that they have on the side, smell it in between because that acts like cheese and crackers to clear the senses so you can actually smell the next fragrance. And the best way to pick out a fragrance is to spray it on one of the little cards. Close your eyes and take a sniff. You want to give it 90 seconds before you smell it because the alcohol, which is the delivery system, is very strong that first 90 seconds, and it's very hard to smell the actual notes of the fragrance underneath it. Give it about 90 seconds, air it out, close your eyes, and smell it. If the fragrance reminds you of that person, you're on track. If you smell it and it doesn't quite, if you hesitate, put it down immediately. Don't second guess yourself. Your sense of smell is one of the best memory recalls that you have. And when you're going to pick a fragrance, if you have that person in mind, you go, does this remind me of them? It either will or it won't.
Oh, good
makes
point.
It very, very easy.
Good point. Thank you.
Not a problem. Okay.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Pardon me. Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question for you. So, because I know that when I smell something, it smells one way, but when I put it on myself and my chemistry in my body,
yes, chemistry has a lot to do.
Makes a big difference. So how do I approach that if I'm not sure how that's gonna smell on my girlfriend or fiance or wife, or how's it?
The majority of people, when they spray fragrance on them, it's going to remain true to the basic notes of the fragrance.
Okay.
There is a small group of people that when they put it on, their chemistry tweaks it immediately. And that's why I say 90 seconds, then you let it dry down for about 3 minutes.
Okay.
If you are, there's two little notes that we can say on this. If you spray fragrance on and it sours, you have to start with really, really, really sweet fragrance.
Wow, okay.
If you, if fragrance goes sweet on you, then you have to go to start with something really musky and heady. And your body is just taking and absorbing. And the third type of fragrance that people have a really hard time with is their body literally absorbs all but like maybe one or two notes, which means they have to start with really strong, complicated fragrances because their body absorbs a lot of it and it doesn't stay on.
That's amazing. You know, I'd love to come and see you, or as a woman or a man, go out into your stores, and check it out. That's the best way to do it and test stuff. And see how that works out for you, and smell it on yourself, and have other people smell it, around you.
Exactly.
And
go ahead.
I do have a question, both Tracy and you. It's like, I have always heard, for me, is like when you get cologne, spray it on your shirt. And then I hear other people who say, no, spray it on your arms and your neck. What is the best way that works?
So it depends. There's a two-way street here. If you spray it, if you're looking to find what I call a signature fragrance, you want that to blend with your chemistry. That means you're going to want to try it on your body. If your core fragrance, your fragrance houses are what are called more pure perfumes. They work with raw materials, nature made. So those are the ones that work with your body. There's actually not a lot of pheromones in fragrance anymore. Musk is common, but
pheromones?
There's not a lot of pheromones. The pheromones are overrated. But a lot of core things like lily and rose and those types of things, and those mix with your chemistry and become a very signature classic fragrance. Chanel No. 5 being the top, one of the top five fragrances historically for over 80 years because it has such a array of notes that it smells beautiful on just this vast majority of women, and it becomes a signature fragrance. Fragrances like Coco Chanel, the original Coco Chanel, that's a tricky one. That is a stronger fragrance. And I always caution people when somebody comes up to me and they says, well, what about this one? I'll look at them and go, what's their personality like? If you are a quieter, more subdued person, a Coco Chanel is going to wear you. If you have attitude and spunk, then you can, when I'm feeling really spunky and attitude, I can rock a Coco.
How much should I use? How much is too much?
Typically, that's a really good question. Understand if the difference between a parfum, an eau de parfum, and an eau de toilette. A parfum is the highest level of essential oils in it.
Right.
It is going to last the longest on the body. And typically, you want to dab that onto your pulse points. That is the most common way of doing it. For an eau de parfum, an eau de toilette, those are just step downs. They have a little bit less of the oils. Typically, they're in a spray. There are two philosophies on that, and I'm going to go back to what you're saying about clothes. You can spray it in the air and walk into it, so you have a, what's called a small showering of fragrance all over
that.
You. It's a little bit softer.
Yeah, same.
Only do one, maybe two squirts. People don't, number one, don't waste it, and number two, don't kill people.
Especially if you're going to a wine tasting.
Yeah,
yes.
Amen, brother.
Consider your venue.
If you're going to a wine tasting, do not wear fragrance. Just don't do it because it interrupts everybody else's experience as well. But to go back to the question you had about spraying it on clothes, the number one concern is it's probably going to stain clothes unless you spray it into the air and you walk into it, number one. Number two, wearing a fragrance on your clothes is really good if you're talking about a synthetic fragrance. And the one I always use is Angel. Angel, if you spray it on me, on you, on Tracy, on anybody, Angel smells like Angel. It does not change. Now, a similar fragrance that has similar notes, the cotton candy, the very sweet, is Flower Bomb. Flower Bomb is a very well-refined fragrance, and when I wear it and Tracy wears it, different notes are going to come out of it because it's not so synthetic. So understanding what the fragrance is and how it's basic, just a couple of things about it will really help you decide how you're going to wear it.
Hey, thank you. I think hopefully the listeners will like that.
This was I found not my what we favorite perfume. I think this is a good thing to do too. Whether you, if you're thinking about buying for somebody else or for yourself, this woman walked by me in a restaurant and she smelled so delish.
Yeah.
So I actually made the guy I was with go up and ask her, and I got it, and then I went to Barney's and got it. But if you, you know, you can ask, and I do that with men too. It's like, oh my god, I really love that, and what a nice way to be able to compliment somebody
it
without
is.
Being
it
weird.
It makes them smile.
And then you, yeah.
So is it socially savvy to go? Well, I love that smell on you.
Yes.
What is
most
that?
Most definitely.
Yes.
It's actually it's a, usually a compliment, and people when they go and finally pick out a fragrance. They get very frustrated, and I always tell people when they come in, they're like, I'm sorry. I'm like, you have to realize when we're working in fragrance, we understand how difficult it is to pick out a fragrance because it is a very, very personal experience. This becomes a part of who you are, a part of how you're identified. So with that, understand if you're working with a fragrance person who is giving you an attitude, just walk away. Find somebody else to help you because you should never be rushed. One other thing to keep in mind when with fragrance, your body chemistry will change every 7 years. You may be able to wear a fragrance for a long time, and all of a sudden you can't wear it. Give it 7 years, you'll probably be able to wear it again, especially for your favorites. Okay, well, we're going to bounce forward. We had a little bit of fun there chatting about other things. We're going to jump forward into what's coming up this week and our plan ahead. Of course, we've talked about Wicker Women's Wednesday this Wednesday at Sweet Lounge with Chick Chat Seattle. Going to be talking about some of her fun things, and they have great giveaways. It runs from 5 to 7. Fun for socializing and checking out this new spot in Bellevue. Trish McAvoy over at Nordstrom's is doing 3 master classes where they've got a senior makeup artist coming in, and they're doing tutorials. Now, I want to tell people, the reason I started bringing these up is so many people love makeup, but when they get their makeup done, they go home and they don't know how to apply it. These master classes are fabulous because they walk you through, they show you how to do it, they give you more of a one-on-one, and so when you leave, you know what you're doing with these products. So if you're one of those who loves all the new looks and just can't seem to figure them out, check out some of these master classes. It's going to be a great experience. They typically have fun appetizers and beverages, and they do extra giveaways. It's a really fun experience. Okay.
Speaking of Wednesday, Cabernet Classic, baby.
Yay!
Yes. So down at Bell Harbor in Seattle Waterfront on 2211 Alaskan Way, Seattle, from 6 to 9, this Wednesday, October 22nd. Tickets are $50. Excuse me, 26. But yes, there's going to be like 40 wineries all doing amazing Cabernets. I am going to be one of your 10 judges tasting wines
excellent.
That night.
I want to go.
I have 200 wines I have to taste. So.
Oh, yeah, we're going to feel. We're hurting. So not going to feel sorry for you. So not.
But, wow. Yes, it's come down. It's going to be a blast. If you want to try some really amazing Cabernets, it's a good time to come down and check that out. So.
Wonderful. You know, when you get done with that, be sure you do the Halloween pub crawl in downtown Seattle. That's going to be on Saturday.
I do spit. Sorry.
Not whatever. For the pub crawl, but for the wine.
It's going to be on.
I don't swallow that night.
Different show.
This is why it's called the after show.
Yes, the Saturday, October 29th from noon to 8 p.m. Join for a massive costume pub crawl during the afternoon. There will be no cover charges. Expect happy hour prices, free food, DJ, dance floors, entertainment. Be sure to parade around outside and more. Bring cash.
Always bring
that makes
cash.
It easier to go through the line so that way you can have a fun time. En route, be sure make sure to check back on Friday that it makes sure it's all finalized. And also join the Bahama Bottle Bowling Tournament and Costume Party over at Lucky Strike Bellevue for a good cause.
Always do the best bowling tournaments, and we're trying to put together a socially savvy team. We've done this before. A lot of fun, and we actually placed fourth last time. It was like, well, I was like going, oh, come on, we can do this. They have great prizes and giveaways, and
you know what's cool?
It's fun.
It's cool because it's after the 29th, you know, so you go do your pub crawl and you go out to your
mellow
thing. You can go play because it's on Sunday, and it's at 9, so you can sleep all day.
Put the kids to bed,
right?
Yep.
And then do it. There's once a month tournament that sends you on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Yes, the top three. They do it in teams where you can have 4 guys and 4 girls. And of the winning team, the top 3 guys and the top 3 girls scores get the tickets to the Bahamas.
Hey, you know, for those guys that I'll put this out there that like boobs, they're having the Bahama Bowling Tournament Costume Party. So if you like to do that, that's going to be Lucky Strikes will be donating $100 for each lane's registry into breathcancer.org.
We love the creativity.
What do you think, Mike? We could do that. We'll have a little team going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, we could do it.
I think of a couple names for that.
Hello.
Hey, so why don't you tell us when that's going to be?
Yes.
That happens on the 30th. That's what we were talking about. It starts at 9. You get there at 8 o'clock for warm-ups. They give you your lane. Tournament starts at 9, runs till midnight. Bowl your heart out. In the past, they've only done the main prize, and this time they're doing a second and third place prizes that are going to be announced at night.
It's all for a good cause.
It's all for a good cause. They have bottle service available at every lane. Cash prizes for the best costume. So you want to get a hold of Roger.Eng, E-N-G, at BowlLuckyStrike.com to register your team, or find us on Facebook and we get you redirected.
Perfect. And speaking of events and different things going on around town, especially in our area that we're broadcasting from in Woodinville, if you want to check out the local wine events here, be sure to go on to WoodinvilleWineCountry.com/events and other wine in Woodinville, and it, you'll get that. Actually, just if you just even just do Woodinville Wine Country, you'll get it. So, events page,
fun event.
And you'll get it's really cool. I mean, they do a lot of different things around here, and I know that
food pairings and music
and I know over at the at our friends over there at Airfield and over at
Apex and also Petite Cellars.
Yep, absolutely.
Or padded
cellar.
I keep saying,
but you know they do a Halloween thing.
Okay.
They do a Halloween thing. If I get it,
actually, Brooke,
come over here, girl.
Over here.
Come over here, girl.
She's one of the wineries
come on,
over
come on.
There, and we absolutely love her.
Padded cellars. Are they doing anything for Padded
Creek?
Are they doing anything for the holiday season for the Halloween or anything like that?
For Halloween? No, not yet. I haven't come up with anything. My brain's not working so well.
Well, we have
that's
time.
That's okay because
you
have beautiful wine. So just pop in and see Brooke.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I heard you on Socially Savvy. I get to come down and try your wines, and they're beautiful. So.
Well,
yes.
And at Padded Creek, too, if you mention Socially Savvy, your wine tasting is going to be complimentary.
Get out.
And 10% off.
Hold on. Our listeners didn't get that.
10% off. Any purchase that you make, as long as you mention Socially Savvy.
Yay. We love you.
Wow. That's amazing. Brooke, you are...
It doesn't apply to Mike.
Because he's just so,
but,
he's
you
so
know,
tricky.
The cool thing is that, but, you know, check out the events page because there's always something really cool going on. There's a Halloween thing coming up here for some of the sellers, and there are a ton of fun because they do food, you do costume, and you drink some wine, get crazy,
so many fun things.
Run around, act stupid, that kind of thing. Maybe the unsocially savvy, I don't know.
No, don't. You can be savvy and have a good time. Okay, so Plan Ahead, Kind Bars is our sponsor for Plan Ahead. If you haven't heard, Kind Bars has put out a new snack. It is like a granola crunch, and so we're very excited to see when they're going to be launching that. I got a sample of it 2 weeks ago, and I have not shared.
I refuse
to share.
You shared. I have a – you had –
Oh, that's right. You did get a little bit.
It's not too dry.
It's really
it's
good.
It's not too
so
sweet. It's
we're so excited for
good.
Kind Bars, and they've been such a great sponsor. So
yep.
Thank you. All right. Here we go. This is the event. And where did and
I know. Where did he go?
Where did Donald go?
He went outside for him, but I can
Well, we're
going
to talk about
it
anyway.
Can I just interject with something that happens between now and then? I'm going to just shamelessly self-promote.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead for it, sweetheart.
No, well, no. So the Burlesque Nutcracker will be playing.
Oh, yes.
And actually, we've already sold a bunch of tickets, so I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we open on the 14th of December, and that leads perfectly into your major fabulous holiday
event.
We're
very, very excited. You know what I would like you to do is put up on our website about the Burlesque Nutcracker, because I have yet to go. And listeners, we were chatting about this, so we need to get that up for you.
For those that haven't seen a burlesque, they should go. It's not what you think it is.
It is so fun and dynamic and energetic.
They need to come see. Me.
It is interesting.
Lily Verlaine.
Could you explain what burlesque is in your view?
Oh, darlings, you should just come see it. Just come to the Burlesque Nutcracker and you can form your own opinion.
There you go.
It's just all kinds of sexy.
It is.
It's all sensual and beautiful, and
great for couples. I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just very much
Well, you're
fun.
Talking about including burlesque in your New Year's Eve event.
We are so very excited. Socially
just flirting with the idea.
Socially Savvy is so excited to be a part of this, and the planning and promoting and Tracy with Chick Chat, we're all just like jazzed. December 31st, starting at 7:30. We will be departing from Pier 56 in Seattle to attend our Roaring Twenties. Same party. You want to tell us details,
it's
Mr. Jason?
It's the Roaring Twenties above the Royale. The Royale is the newest boat from the Argosy Cruise Line. We've got it exclusively for the night. Just imagine stepping back in time to the Roaring Twenties. You know, all the glitz and glamour.
Prohibition.
Flappers, Prohibition, mobsters, the Great Gatsby, Jazzer, Hollywood Stalowitz. It's just back in the air when, like, you know what? Blue skies above. We could do nothing wrong. And that was the song at the time. It really was. That was the number one song. And a couple of, over the years, different artists have kind of covered it and made it their song. So what you can expect is a little red carpet entrance. You'll get a little sparkling toast when you arrive. If you're on the regular level, you'll enjoy some food, drinks. On the VIP level, you'll have a little more private dance area. It's just going to be a fun night. We'll have fresh Northwest Selection dinners. It's all inclusive, and at midnight you'll have we'll anchorage in front of the Space Needle area, so you can see the fireworks right there on Elliott Bay.
It'd be fabulous.
And then be greeted with another champagne toast. And this is all exclusive. If you're interested in the VIP, there is a
they have to talk to us.
They do. Speakeasy password.
Yep.
Now, what will be included in the VIP? Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that? Do you know yet?
We do know, but VIP is very similar to the Cotton Club back in the days of Prohibition. A lot of people knew that Cotton Club existed, but they didn't get to always know what was going on, and not everybody was invited. So we're kind of playing with a few things. We're going to be giving out little clues. But I think the one thing we will tell people is for the VIP, it's not just all-inclusive with your dinner and beverage for the whole night and appetizers. It is, Jason
point.
Is pairing it.
Yeah, I'm pairing all the food.
Seven courses.
Yeah, it's not quite seven, but we'll get close to that.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely, when people think, it's like when you guys get on the website, which is Roaring Twenties Aboard the Royal Isle, it's about the experience. It's about the food when you walk in. It's top-notch food, top-notch drink. We have live music that's coming. We're going to have
live entertainment.
Burlesque.
It's going to be very time period. And actually, yeah. The one point I do want to make is it is time period, so you have to dress appropriately.
Yes,
if you show up in jeans and you have paid for a ticket, you are not getting on. So
no.
The whole idea is to bring a different experience to Seattle that takes it up a notch more towards like what a New York event would be, something that's really true and fashion.
And over the next couple of weeks, I will, with the help of Donald and LB, we're going to be talking about Prohibition. We're going to be talking about what it's like to be, you know, the cat's meow. You know, what exactly does that mean when, you know, you sit there and say, you know, man, hush
flapper.
Money, you know, hush money was, you know, allowance from the father, or dropping the pilot, meaning getting a divorce. You know, what did that mean? Back in the era, when you were a flapper, it's kind of like breaking the old habit of, like, flapper was anybody under 30 years old, because anything over, you're an old fogey. Because they even
wow.
had a flapper magazine,
and
it was called
flapper. And
they
even had a term
flapper.
For that, too.
Yes.
They even had the term for the older lady.
You know, and
not
also,
quite so
you,
cute.
You know, when you, like, let's say you're with a person, you had, you know, oh, they're a flat shoe. What that meant was is that they had a fight between the goof and the flapper. A goof was somebody endearing.
Yep.
It's kind of silly when they
the
have
guy,
the terms.
Yep.
So, hey, Donald, could you explain a little bit more about the different levels that we have? We went over about the boat and everything else.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So explain, what will they get when they walk in, come 7 o'clock, and they're greeted at the door on the red carpet with a champagne glass? Help me understand. Explain to them.
Well, first of all, the first level is what we call platinum, because back in the 20s, you know, platinum was all the rage as far as for wedding rings and jewelry. So we want to tie that into our era. And so again, and platinum is special more so than just walking in. So therefore, when you walk onto the boat, you know, the platinum level, you're going to be escorted over to your area where you're seating. And it's beautiful burgundy inside. Carpeting, walls. It's going to be decked out with for the holidays.
They have fabulous
and
booth seating.
Booth seating, like old New York style, Club 21.
Yeah.
You know, and you got your brass columns going on the boat as well. And the boat is large enough where you don't feel like you're on a boat. It's that
big. Yeah, it's stunning. I was on
very
it for
spacious.
A cruise before, and it's very nice.
And we're selectively alluding to the Cotton Club level. We're going to give out hints throughout the next couple of weeks. Exactly. So exactly. Just to kind of, you know, if you go to the Cotton Club level, it is a personalized dining experience.
Yes, very personalized. When you go, you have your own table, your own section there, and for individuals and groups, and it's personalized to your, you know, your name on the table and everything.
And, you know, I heard that LB and Chick Fat will be broadcasting live that night.
Time period, yes. Broadcasting. Yes. So we're going to take it back to how it used to be done. Very, very excited.
Back in the day in 1926.
So look forward to our podcast about it. And we'll look forward to that. That is Roaring Twenties, spelled out, aboard the Royale.com. Please keep in mind, no ticket purchases the day of the event, because we'll be busy enjoying the event.
Yep.
So
no last minute.
For the Cotton Club and the Fedora Lounge.
Ooh, I love it. Hey, will you guys put, and I'm sorry I haven't checked out the website yet, but links to fashion so that we kind of have an idea.
Yes,
we're
going to be putting out ideas of pictures of what the attire was.
They had all kinds of things.
Doing some research for that today, and there's a couple other surprises we're going to be telling people about, and then there's going to be a lot of surprises that you're not going to find out about unless you attend the event.
This is an interactive.
Right.
This is not a just,
this
you know, show up and
party.
Get drunk. I hate those. Sorry.
I know.
This is interactive. We're going to be, you know, you're going to learn about the terms. Donald and I and LB will go around town talking about what it was like to have Prohibition in Seattle.
Yeah, we're going to do some research, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
In Seattle, yeah.
You know, and for those of a little background, there are two things you can watch. There's one on PBS called The Prohibition of how
Ken
Prohibition.
Burns, right?
Yeah, Ken Burns, great opportunity. Yeah. And
well, you know, it's really interesting because I know some old-time people, friends I've known for a long time, and their parents have these gentlemen clubs.
Yes.
Ah.
And they still run today.
Yeah. The Rainier.
And it's an exclusive club.
Yep.
It's very well checked out. They check you out and make sure everything's cool. And then you have just an initiation night where you go in and you meet the members. Mm-hmm. And then they still vote. It's not all the way in, but you still vote by the members whether they want you in or not.
Well, and that's one of the things that when we came up with the concept of the Cotton Club, is you have to know somebody and you have to be invited. Not everybody
invitation.
Is going. It's just not automatically available.
Absolutely,
it's definitely not for somebody who's fate of mind. This is participatory. This is
exactly.
You definitely want the feeling that you're a part of an exclusive in crowd club.
Yeah. It's going
to
be a blast.
I'm really excited because I actually am coming back from the East Coast this year for New Year's Eve. And
I never stay.
Because there's never anything fabulous to do. So
the movie to watch is a documentary from Ken Burns, who does excellent documentary. It's called Prohibition. It's free of charge on pbs.com,
.org.
If you're on HBO, there's a show called Boardwalk Empire that kind of goes into different pieces on it, and it kind of shows you what's going on.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I think why that's coming back right now, a lot, for those of us, this isn't a political thing. There's a lot of restriction, a lot of evil right now. That's happened, and it's happened again since Prohibition. If you follow through, it's like, hey, wait a minute, depression, that's kind of like now.
Yeah.
Watch it, enjoy it, great time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for hanging in there. We went way over on the show, but we had a lot of fun things to talk about. We want to thank Vault Denim for being here today to show off some of her fun stuff for all of our customers and listeners who showed up. And we look forward to having her at some of our events here in the future as
well. Can I ask her something? We have time?
I have a question.
She's looking over there. She's, like, having fun.
Yeah.
If she wants to come over, she's more than...
Okay, never mind. I was going to ask her when she's going to have some... I just want to ask you, when are you going to have the men's fashion? You have beautiful women's fashion. What about men?
Right.
The men's fashions will be here in December.
Oh,
nice.
Very good.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We're very excited. That's going to be very cool.
Very excited, yeah.
So come to some of our events and check out her stuff. She's got really fun stuff coming.
I have a pair of Vault Denim, well, not Vault Denim, but jeans that I bought from your party at Dee Dee's Friends. Yeah, I have them on right now.
I'm looking forward to getting some. I got another couple weeks, but then I'm going to get some. Okay, for all you socially savvy fans, be sure to like us on our Facebook page to be entered into our drawings for prizes from our secret sponsors. We'll announce at the beginning of the month our winners, so good luck. Go to www.facebook.com/sociallysavvy. You can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio. You can get information from myself, LB Duchess, Tracy Clink Ross, Michael Kotzman, all of us can get you links to any of the information that is out there. We want to thank our sponsors of today's show, Padded Creek Cellars, Willow's Lodge, Pop Chips, Barking Frog, Pabst Beer, Sweet Talk Wipes, Bellevue Nordstrom's Cosmetics, Eye Candy Lash Boutique, Cascade Ice, Kind Bars, and our two special guests, Donald and Jason, who are putting together this fabulous party. So we're going to have everybody's links up there. You can check us out and come have some fun with us in the weeks to come.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a socially savvy week.